All right, good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John, all the way towards the back of the Bible. You want to look at chapter 1. Starting from verse 5, go all the way to chapter 2. Just want to welcome you to HMCC. My name is Ben. I'm the pastor here, and I really have the privilege of being able to shepherd this community of faith. When I think about our church, really, we are a church that is on mission together to reach the nations. We believe that when you think about the gospel message, that the gospel message is for the nations, which means we want to be a church that reaches all peoples, because God's heart is for all peoples. So regardless of whether you're a lighter hue, a little bit darker hue, we want to be a church that represents the nations. And not only the nations, but we also want to be a church that represents all the different life stages that we will encounter, right? Students, working people, married couples, and so forth, because this is really God's heart, so that every time we gather together on Sundays to worship God, that we really want to reflect the heart that God has for the nations. And it really is a wonderful privilege of being able to gather people from all different backgrounds, whether it's different cultural backgrounds, whether it's for different socioeconomic backgrounds and so forth, that we can proclaim that there is a God who loves us. There is a God that breathes his purpose into our lives. And so we are striving to be that church. And I know some of you are brand new to our campus. You're going to be checking out different churches and so forth. Really, you're blessed because in this area, there's so many awesome churches. And so I pray that regardless of whether it's our church or some other church, that you will get plugged into the church. And I've been telling some of our participants, really the end goal is not to get you to come out to our church, because our church is not the end goal. But the end goal is to connect you to God. And he does that as you come to and become part of a local church. And so if God leads you to participate with us here in this local church, then we praise God. Or if God leads you somewhere else, then we praise God for it, as long as you are being connected to God through the local church. And so I really want to encourage you in that. All right? So we are starting a new school year for our students, a new season for our working adults and even for our families. And you always know it's a new season because one of the things that I really love about coming down near campus during the summer seasons is there's no traffic, right? But then Friday, like, we had a gathering, so I had to drive through campus, and it was such chaos. And, you know, that's when you know, okay, a new season is about to start, right? Or maybe those of us who are working, you know that it's new season when you turn the TV on and you see football games finally playing. And this is a very exciting year. I don't know if you guys are into football. In our family, we love watching football. Right, we finally made our way into the SEC, competing with the big boys now. And actually this year, there's some of us who came from the University of Michigan, whether we went to undergrad or some of us, I went to grad school there. And so we are having that big game, Longhorns versus the Wolverines up in the big house. And so I'll be wearing my UT shirt, but maybe underneath I'll be wearing my Michigan shirt. So we'll see, all right? So it is a new season that we're entering into. And I was thinking about this, and I just really felt convicted that in light of this new season that God is inviting us into, that we want to start this new season by spending some time in the book of 1 John. Because the book of 1 John, and I know that, you know, like, when you think about the book of 1 John, many of us jump to what we know the most about 1 John, where it talks about the love of God, which we will get to. But really, the big theme of 1 John is really God's invitation for us. This awesome reality that God invites us to live in fellowship with him, to live in fellowship with him. And I just feel like as we enter into this new season, I just really sense that God is wanting to encourage us and to, maybe for some of us, maybe it's been a great summer in certain aspects, but maybe in our relationship with God necessarily hasn't been the best that it should have been or could have been. Just a wonderful reminder that God is reminding us that we must continue to walk with him, that we must continue to have fellowship with God. In fact, this is what John declares. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, he says, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and when he was revealed to us, we proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy." And read that in the New Living Translation. John is essentially saying, listen, we proclaim this gospel message. And so when you think about John, he's one of the original disciples that Jesus called. And so he lived with Jesus. He followed Jesus. He experienced Jesus' miracles, that he sat under Jesus' teaching, that he saw the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And John says, it is this gospel that Jesus has proclaimed to us that we are proclaiming to you. And he says, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and that indeed our fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, we're sharing this life and this message of Jesus with you so that you can have fellowship with us, and ultimately that you can have fellowship with God. That's really why John is writing this letter. And so when you think about the churches that John is writing this letter to, one of the things that they're really struggling with is, and this is the case in many of the churches you see in the New Testament, right? Some people have penetrated the church and they're teaching false teachings. They're proclaiming truth that were very different from what Jesus himself proclaimed and taught. And they were leading people astray, away from Jesus. And John says, no, it's about having fellowship. It's about walking with Jesus. And so when you think about that word fellowship, it's not just, hey, I'm inviting you to hang out with Jesus or hang out with me. It's not, hey, we go to the coffee and we grab some, caffeinated beverage and we just hang out with Jesus. There's nothing wrong with hanging out with Jesus. But the biblical concept of fellowship, it speaks to sharing in common something that is significant and important. Right? Sharing something that is significant and important. We share values, beliefs, and goals together. And so when God says, hey, come, walk with me, have fellowship with me, this is what God is inviting us to. He's saying, hey, share my values. Share my goals. Learn my truths. Because when we have fellowship with one another that reflects our fellowship with God, John says that we will have joy. The reason why God is inviting us into fellowship is because his ultimate goal for us is so that we will know joy. And I just really feel like this is God's heart for us, that as we enter into this new season, it's not just, okay, what's going on at work and what classes am I taking? And, already some of you guys are thinking, what internships am I going to line up and what grad schools am I going to be, applying to? And, some of us are brand new to our church and trying to figure out the work life and so forth. But it's God saying, hey, stop for a moment and realize that I'm inviting you to experience joy. And so it's in that context that this is what John proclaims. So let's read the passage for us today. I'm going to read this in the ESV, starting from verse 5. 1 John 1, 5. He says this, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." So as we look into today's passage, the one thing that I want to give us simply is this, that we can know fellowship with God by walking in the light, that we can know and experience fellowship with God by walking in the light, right? So this is the big idea that John is trying to communicate. He's saying, now, this is what I need you to know and embrace. Look at verse 5. This is a message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. The message that we have heard from him, that's the message that they heard from Jesus. This is the message that was proclaimed by Jesus to us. And this is the same message that I am sharing with you, that God is light. In fact, we see this theme that God is light all throughout Scripture, right? So for example, Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The prophet Micah, he says in Micah 7:8, rejoice not over me, O my enemies. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be, what? A light to me. And then even Jesus himself in John 8:12 proclaims, and again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we see this theme all throughout Scripture, that God is light. And then actually John explains what he is saying there for us. Because he says God is light, and then he says what? In him is no darkness at all. So what does it mean that God is light? It means that in God there is no darkness at all. And so when you think about this theme of darkness all throughout Scripture, in the Bible, this theme of darkness, it points to the sense of brokenness, sense of rebellion, imperfection, fallenness, and corruption. And so when God says, excuse me, when John says that God is light, it's this awesome declaration that John is making that our God is holy. And the word holy means that God is someone or something that is completely different from us in that in God there is no darkness. So when you think about who God is, and when you think about the holiness of God, it means that in God there is no brokenness, that there are no imperfections, that there are no corruptions, that God is perfect in all of his ways, that God is light. And this is such an encouragement to every single one of us, because when you think about what this means to you, in the midst of some of the things that you're already thinking about and possibly even engaged in, as you think about this new school year, and maybe you're excited, but certain things are, it's not very clear. Maybe some of us in the workplace, there's things that are going on dealing with our coworkers, and there's a lot of headaches, and we're thinking about, okay, I need to work on this project. Or maybe some of us have just entered into the work life, and you know, the work life, it's hard, right? Because when you're a student, you know exactly, for 4 years, this is what I'm going to do, this is the path, and then soon as you work, enter into that work life, you recognize that there's really no path, right? It's, you enter into workplace when you're 22, and you retire, I don't know what the retirement is 85. Because of that, so, like, what does that mean, right? Maybe some of us with our families, as our kids are growing older, the sense of uncertainty. Whatever it is that you're experiencing and wrestling with, I just really feel like God is wanting to remind us that he is perfect in all of his ways. That he's perfect in all of his ways. Perfect in how he works. Perfect in the ways that he encourages you and maybe even challenges you. Perfect in leading you through certain circumstances and situations where you're like, wait a minute, God, what are you doing in my life? And God says, you might not fully understand it, but trust me, I am perfect. And this God who is perfect in all his ways, he calls us into fellowship. And so how does God call us into fellowship with him? And what does walking in the light, what does that look like? And so John spells that out for us. First of all, he says, walking in the light, it means that we respond to this invitation that God gives into our lives, the invitation that he gives, which leads us to repentance, by inviting us into repentance. Look at verse 6 and then 8 and 9. He says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? And I know that as soon as we mention words like sin and repentance, it's not very comfortable, right? But let's really think about what John is declaring here. Because he's saying God is light, and there is no darkness in light, which means that you cannot fellowship with God, and you cannot fellowship with darkness at the same time. And it's kind of like saying this, right? I have first picture. It's kind of like saying you're a basketball nut. But then when I show you this picture, you have no idea who this guy is that is just flying through the air, right? In my opinion, arguably the greatest basketball player of all time. And if you still have no idea who he is, then that's all right. Now, it's Michael Jordan. Or it's like saying, you know what, you're really into fashion, but then you don't recognize this picture, right? As some of you are like, what is that? Wallpaper? Like, what is that, right? Like, some of you are like, right? If you don't recognize, I think one's Gucci, right? And one's Mr. Louis Vuitton. Louis Vuitton. Like, if you don't recognize these logos, then you can't say, wow, I'm really into fashion. Doesn't make sense. And this is what John is saying, that because God is light, you cannot have fellowship with light, and you cannot have fellowship with darkness. But here's the bad news. Here's the reality in verse 8. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. John is saying, here is the reality that confronts us. And the reality is that we all have sin in our lives. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right? Now, I know that I said the S word in church. Sin, right? The word that shall not be mentioned. And so when we hear the word sin, for many of us, we think about, okay, so sin is about, it's a list of things that you should do and the things that you should not do. Or it's just about behavior. It triggers our memories of, okay, I made certain decisions maybe I shouldn't have because it's not the wisest decision. Or maybe it's about, I don't know, as soon as we talk about sin in the church, it just makes you feel guilty. But John says sin actually means that you've fallen short of who God is, God being light, that you've fallen short of the glory of God. And ultimately, sin, what that means is that you are not God. Because unlike God, who is light, you know, our default setting is what? Is darkness. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't ever do anything that's good. Of course we do. But it means that we are not God. And when John points us to this reality that we are sinners, he's pointing us to this reality that within us is a deep sense of brokenness. And our instinct is to try with all of our might to save ourselves from that brokenness, right? Our instinct is to play the role of God for ourselves. And we see this playing out in the lives of other people all the time, and it's actually easier to see it in the lives of others than in your own life. You know, some of us who are students, you see this playing out on our campus. People who genuinely experience deep sense of brokenness. And so what do they turn to? They turn to relationships. They turn to experiences. They turn to their own accomplishments. Right? If I can only have this, or if I can only belong to this group of people, or if I can only have that, then somehow that I feel like I am worth something. And in our city, we see people turning to find meaning and worth in their work and their accomplishments. And that's why they begin to accumulate stuff. And when they reach certain milestones in their work life, then they treat themselves, right? I'm going to buy this nice watch, or I'm going to go on this vacation, because they feel like if I can only attain these things, then somehow that's going to communicate to other people that I'm actually worth something. And as parents, it's really hard not to try to find that in our kids. If only my kids can do this or accomplish that, behave in this way, then I feel the sense of wholeness because I feel like I've done something right. But John says, you know, regardless of who you are, deep down inside, there is this unquenchable longing to be known and to be valued. Right? Think about it, that every single one of us, deep down inside, there's this desire to be known and to be valued. And John says, you can't possibly provide that for yourself. Or you can't turn to other beings who are also broken, or other experiences that is also tainted and broken, to create that sense of meaning and worth for yourself. And that's why John is so confident in declaring that all of us, that we have sin in our lives. But then here's the good news. John says God doesn't just leave us in that sense of despair, but rather the Word of God declares what? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John is saying we can experience this deep, meaningful fellowship with God, that God can quench our desire to be known, that God can quench our desire to be valued through how? Our repentance. And that's why, biblically speaking, repentance is so important, because it's not just we come before God and we list off, okay, here's how I messed up again, right? It's not a list of things that we've done wrong and we feel like God is mad at us. It's not God trying to manipulate you into feeling guilty, right? Some of us who've grown up in the church, we use repentance as a tool, a bargaining tool. We say, okay, maybe if I come and if I confess certain things, then God will do X, Y, and Z for me. And it's also interesting, because I was thinking about this, depending on our cultural background, for those of us who are more from a shame-based culture, when we hear words like sin and repentance, you feel bad and you feel guilty, because there's a sense of shame that comes over you because you know that you've fallen short, because you know that you weren't quite able to measure up to either your own expectations or others. But for others who come from more of this individual is the ultimate kind of culture, when you hear the word repentance, you get mad, right? And you get angry that someone actually has the gall to tell you what you should or shouldn't do. Right? You feel this indignation because you think, who are you to tell me how I should live my life? Who are you to tell me what I should do and how I should feel? But John says repentance actually is none of those things. But John says repentance is what? It's confession. It's simply confessing that you are not God. That you're never going to be talented enough. You're never going to be powerful enough. You're never going to be witty enough. You're never going to be good enough to completely control every aspect of your life and to save yourself from brokenness that you see and experience. That's why John says, when you come before God in repentance, for him, it's such fantastic news. right? Because it means that when you come before God in repentance, when you come before God fully acknowledging that you will never be God, you will never be able to save yourself, that's when you hear God speak into your life to say, hey, you're not going to have to do that because I've already done that for you. I've already done what you could never do for yourself. And so for John, repentance brings such freedom into his life because it's about letting God be God. It's about being honest with our weaknesses and our shortcomings. But we also know that repentance is hard, right? That's why we don't like to talk about repentance, because it's admitting ultimately that deep down inside that you know that you're not good enough. And for some of us, if we're really honest, we've developed layer upon layer upon layer to try to protect ourselves against this feeling that somehow we're not good enough, that we are not worthy enough. That somehow we will never be fully known, that we will never be fully embraced, that we will never be fully loved if people saw us for who we really are. And it's painful to let God do that work of peeling back all that stuff from our hearts to expose this reality that you are not God. But when you come before God in repentance, God does the work of bringing such freedom into your life that he offers you forgiveness, that he offers you restoration, and he offers you hope. And so not only does God call us to walk in light by inviting us to repentance, but he also calls us to walk in light by inviting us to his work of restoration. And we'll close out with this last point. Look at chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. John goes on and he says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins." Remember that word, propitiation. "And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." John says when we repent and when we recognize our inability to save ourselves from our own brokenness, God begins that work of restoring us back to himself. That when God declares that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that's not the language of God saying, you know what, I'm just going to work and I'm going to make you feel really good about yourself. It's not the language of, you know what, God's somehow going to make it so that your walk with him, that he's going to solve all your problems and all your issues. And he's going to work to make your dreams come true. Now, that's the language of God will walk with you. So that as you learn to walk with God, that you can know who he is. And that as you fellowship with him, God says, I'm going to work so that I'm shaping and molding your life so that you're becoming more like who I am. And that's why repentance is never about the behavior. Because you can work on your behavior all you want. But just because you work on your behavior doesn't mean that ultimately that you're going to change what's going on inside, right? That's not what God invites us to. But what God invites us to and what the gospel invites us to is what? It's the change of our hearts. So that as your hearts are being changed and renewed, restored, transformation, you know what happens? All that stuff, how you live your life, how you make certain decisions, all the outside stuff, that just naturally changes because your heart is already changed. And that's the work of restoration that God invites us to. So how does he make that way for us? How does God deliver us from light, from darkness into light. He says this in 1b, he says, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. In the New Living Translation, it says, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ. The word advocate there means someone who delivers. We have someone who delivers us. We have someone who intercedes, someone who is righteous, someone who is unlike us, someone who is God. And so Jesus, our advocate, he goes on in verse 2, this is how he makes a way for us. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sin of the whole world. In the New Living Translation, it says this, he himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. The word propitiation there is really interesting. It's actually very important. It means that Jesus was willing and able to do something about our brokenness, that he was able to do something about our imperfections, that he was able to do something about our sin, that through his death, that Jesus satisfied God's holiness and justice against sin. And through his resurrection, that he speaks new life into our lives. And that's what the gospel declares. That when John says, hey, remember, Jesus is your advocate, that Jesus is your propitiation, that Jesus is your sacrifice, what John is reminding us is this reality that you and I, that we're made and created in God's image. And our purpose was to live in perfect fellowship with God. But it means that we rebelled against that purpose. So how do we rebel against that purpose? We rebelled against that purpose by declaring back to God, you know what, God? I think I'm just going to go ahead and create a new purpose, a new path for myself. And our rebellion against God and his ways that ultimately led us to what? Destruction and brokenness. But the Word of God tells us that God so loved the world, and we'll talk about this next week, that God is love. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him what shall not perish but have eternal life. Whoever places their trust in the work of Christ, that he died the death that you and I deserve to die on the cross, but he rose from the grave to give us new life. This gospel, it invites us into a new life. Right? It's not just offering a better and improved version of your old self. But Jesus offers a life that is new, completely different. A life that is rooted in grace. A life is rooted in mercy. A life that is rooted in his freedom. A life that is completely surrendered to God. A life that completely embraces the worship of God. This is the fellowship that God invites us to. And he says, you can know this fellowship with me as you walk in the light. So the one thing, once again, is we can have fellowship with God by walking in the light. So how do we make this personal? There's two ways that John tells us how we can make this personal. First, he says, be connected to the body of Christ. Because it's not just about fellowship with God. Because sometimes it's kind of hard, right, to imagine, practically speaking, what that entails and what that looks like in our lives. But he says, actually, you know what? Fellowship with God, it's reflected in our fellowship with the body of Christ. John says, if we live in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And so he says, be connected to the body of Christ. That God invites us not only to fellowship with him, but to fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want to really encourage some of us this year. to be connected to the body of Christ. Don't just come to church, regardless of what church you choose to be part of. Don't just come to life group or some other churches of small group or Bible study or whatever it is. But be connected, because that's the only way that you will experience meaningful fellowship with one another, which will encourage you in your fellowship with God. And we're going to talk about this more, because next week we're going to talk about how God is love. And then the last Sunday, we're going to talk about how God is truth. And what John fleshes out for us is that if we truly believe that God is truth, then we're going to love one another by being connected to the body of Christ. And so be connected to the body of Christ. Practically speaking, that means that we offer things like life group. Sign up for life group and be committed to life group. Not for the sake of that life group, but for the sake of your own fellowship with God. Not only be connected to the body of Christ, but lastly, John reminds us, be restored back to God as you invite God to speak his freedom into that area of your life through repentance. Right? Some of us recognize right away certain areas of your life where it's just so hard for you to let God be God. Maybe some of us, it's in the areas of relationship. Maybe some of us, it's in the areas of, I don't know, future ambitions. As my kids get older, I have three boys, two in high school, one in elementary. It's, you know, to be honest, when I think about their future, it's really hard for me at times to let God be God. It's so easy for me to try to impose my own thoughts and ideas and, hey, you should think about pursuing this when you're going to college. And I never wanted to be that parent, right? Because when I was growing up, my parents were that parent that always said, you know what, when you go to college, you should go and become an engineer, because my dad said they were all in sciences. But then I went into engineering, and I quickly discovered I hate engineering. My freshman year, I switched out. What is that area of your life where you know that there is this sense of brokenness and you're trying so hard to create meaning and significance for yourself? Will you invite God to speak his freedom into that area of your life? Be connected to the body of Christ. Be restored to God as he desires to speak freedom. He does that by inviting us to repentance. Can you stand with me as we close out our time together? Thank you guys for listening. And you know, to be completely honest, I was preparing this message and I just thought, man, we're starting the new school year and 1 John is about repentance, and I'm like, maybe we'll skip 1 John. We'll do like 2 and 3 where it talks about God is love, and then we'll come back to this. But it's not just about repentance, but ultimately it's about freedom. Because Jesus himself declares that it is for freedom that I have come to set you free. What areas of your life do you need God to speak that freedom of his mercy and grace into you? Right? What areas of your life are you trying desperately? You're so desperate and trying so hard to create that sense of worth for yourself? And I think this message is a wonderful reminder that there's no way. You can try as hard as you want. There's no way that you're going to be able to do that for yourself. And it's God's gracious invitation for us to come and to know fellowship with God. So can I just invite us? In our church, we believe that it's appropriate for us to respond. That when the Word of God goes forth, that we need to respond to that Word. And so can I just invite us for the next, 30 seconds, next minute or so, can I just invite you to respond? That as we were talking through about this passage together, what is that one thing that God has been speaking to you? Maybe He's been encouraging you. Maybe He's been reminding you. Maybe He's been challenging you. Maybe some of us, regardless of whether you've grown up in the church or maybe this is your first time in the church, maybe we don't know what it means to have that kind of relationship with God, where our understanding of God is based on guilt or shame, or our understanding of God is based on God wanting to control our lives and God wanting to tell us what to do. But no, God says, I've come so that you can experience freedom, liberation. And maybe this is God's invitation for you to really discover and to know the gift that Jesus offers you. That He is God who came and lived the life that you and I could never live. He died the death that you and I deserve to die, and He rose again to speak His freedom into our lives. And for too long, you've tried your best to be God. And you realize that you can never be that God that saves yourself from brokenness. And maybe today's the day that you recognize Jesus' voice, where He invites you to know Him, to know His forgiveness, to be reconciled, and to know His freedom. So I'm going to go and pray for us. And then after that, I'm just going to give us 30 seconds or so just to respond to the Holy Spirit of God in prayer and meditation. And then after a little bit, our band will lead us in closing worship. Okay, let's pray together. Father, we come before You. We thank You, God, for just this wonderful reminder that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I'm the first one to admit, God, that it's really hard for me to say that there is brokenness in me. But the reality is that there is brokenness in all of our lives. And into that brokenness that You declare, You are light. And in that You offer forgiveness and restoration. So, Father, may we come before You, God. And may You speak that freedom, God, into these areas of our lives where it's so hard for us to surrender them to You. So hard for us to say, God, that You are God over my studies. You are God over my time. You are God over my family. You are God over my money. You are God over my problems. Holy Spirit, come, speak that freedom into our lives. We thank You, God, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. So can I just invite us, next 30 seconds, let's come before the Lord and respond. And then after a little bit, our band will close us out. Let's pray together.